Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret. Number three, if you please, when we get to that part of the service, what God can do. I used to listen to that when I was very, very young, just after being healed of cancer, and I am so grateful for what the Lord has done. Amen. Will you join hands as I ask you to do this morning? Let's pray together that the Lord will. We're going to need this building. If we follow on, if all of us follow on, if no one gets distracted, the Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice. And I don't know what you're going through. You may feel like you're in some place where no one else is but you, and you can't see the good right now in your life, and other people are so excited and enthused about what God is doing. You may have a prayer that is pending. I want to remind you this way. Everybody say a prayer that's pending. Prayer that's pending means, amen, that God has a timing in which he's going to answer it. That's why it's pending. God's delay is not God's denial. Amen? Amen? God denies you, he's just going to say flat no. I believe you'll know it in your heart. And the moment he says no, he's going to give you a grace. Amen. When he said no to Paul's prayer, he gave him a sufficient grace, didn't he? So if you haven't received that, then he hasn't said no. So if he hasn't said no, then how many know the will of God will never... I saw this in a Christian bookstore, by the way. It was embroidered on something in a frame. It cost $52. I'm going to give it to you for free today. Amen. The grace of God will never... The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Amen. So if God says no to something that you feel is absolutely essential, amen, it's because he's going to grant grace, and you'll grant it in that moment. Paul discovered that grace in the midst of God's nose, didn't he? That's where he discovered that grace. Amen. Isn't that incredible? God said, no, I'm going to take you through this instead of take you from it. Amen. And he gave him grace. God said, you know something? When I'm weak, I'm really strong. His grace is sufficient for me, and it'll be sufficient for you. If you haven't received the grace, that means it's pending. That means he wants you to stand on his word and persevere. That's patience is used more in the New Testament in the sense of perseverance than it is just waiting. Amen. It means to keep pressing on and keep believing and keep standing. Amen. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The sense of that in the actual Greek is knock and keep on knocking. I understand there's a hyper faith message said to ask a second time is to ask in unbelief. So you ask once, it's done, and you never think anything else. But the Bible says explicitly that some prayers are answered, many of them, much of them. I'm going to go so far as to say all of them through importunity. Amen. Unjust judge has a woman asking every day. Man that needs bread, beating on the door. Keeps beating on the door. Woman who comes to Jesus with a daughter sick, she's not even a Jew, doesn't have a legal basis for access to the covenant, but she bows before Jesus, amen, and cries out and says, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he says, great is your faith, heals her daughter. Then just say, amen. So the Bible says, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking. Ask and keep on asking. Not ask as if he haven't heard, but ask because you know he's listening. Can you say amen? There's a difference. You can ask in faith and stand in faith by continuing to go before God. Hannah kept mumbling a prayer. She mumbled it, fumbled it. Amen. It sounded like she might have been inebriated. She's just praying and kind of mumbling in the temple. Priest comes to her and said, how dare you come in here inebriated? She says, I'm not drunk. I'm asking God for something. Can you say, see, a lot of people think if it's not a big flowery prayer, God won't listen. If it's not an eloquent prayer, God won't listen. I like the guy that answered his critic this way or heard him pray. By the way, amen, there's all kinds of people. Listen, get all that stuff out of the way. God listens when his people pray. Amen. You may fumble over some words and get your pronunciation wrong, but God will listen when you pray. He knows what's in your heart before you try to vocalize it. And when you can't find words, you can give way to the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And if you don't know the will, you can defer to the Holy Spirit. And He'll pray through you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can sing with your understanding when it gets beyond anything the human mind can express. You can sing with the Spirit. Hallelujah. You can pray with your understanding as far as it can take you. And when you end up and you're at a blank space, you can give way and let the Holy Spirit do it. Amen. And He'll pray according to the will of God. When I don't know the will of God, I just defer to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then whatever happens, I believe is in the will of God from that point on. Because He prays according to the will of God. Amen. If we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. That's why we need help praying in the will of God. Anyway, that's a whole other message. Praise God. I want to pray today we'll grasp what God has for us this very day. Heavenly Father, we want to grasp this message. We want it to get deep within our spirits. Father, we want this spiritual food to lodge deep within us, bring forth the fruit. We want the tapes, the disc. We want them to go where You send them. And thank You for the people who You send them by in the name of Jesus. Thank You that the Word of God is not contained in these four walls, Father. Thank You that it is going to where You want it to go, to the regions beyond. And Father, thank You for people that will come to know You. Whether or not they come to this church, Lord, is not the supreme issue. The supreme issue is that they come to know You as Lord and Savior. And Father, for every soul that comes to know Christ as their Savior, we give You the praise ahead of time, right now, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I started to say I don't know what you're going through, but I know you're going through. Hallelujah. Everybody goes through something. Someday I will be able to get God's green light, God's release in my spirit, by His Spirit, to preach on the blessing that no one wants, that I began to preach and God wouldn't let me then. But maybe you're coming to a place of maturity that you can handle it soon. And it is the blessing of persecution. Blessed are you when all men shall speak evil of you and cast your name out as evil. It's the blessing no one wants. And sometime we will preach about that. By the way, it's a blessing everyone gets, whether you want it or not. You don't have to believe God for it. And few people do. Amen. In fact, I know no one that does. Amen. But we're living in a fallen world, and Satan's going to see to it that you get the blessing of persecution. God wants you to be able to handle it when it comes, and handle it correctly so that it doesn't defeat you, and because His purpose through you is defeated when you are defeated. I didn't say His purpose universally, amen, in the world, amen, but His purpose through you is defeated when you are defeated. And Satan can't defeat God, amen, but he really pours it on you and me. Amen. He battled God in heaven. It was a quick defeat. There was no big struggle going on. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, Jesus said. When God said it, it was done, and that was it. That's the end of it. That's why if we go to cast out a devil, we don't argue with them. They would like to engage us in an argument that they are not going to listen, and they're not going to come out, and they're liars, and they have no defense against the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. I just thought I'd throw that out to you. Some of the Hollywood versions would think that somehow light and darkness in a struggle equals, and maybe one may get the edge by just a little bit, and that is not true. Amen. If you saw that fight, Jesus didn't win by decision. Amen. It was a KO. Hallelujah. No contest. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7 for just a little while this morning, which, as you well know, doesn't really mean anything. But we understand we have some appointments this evening and some things to do, and I will be in my office with some counseling at 4 p.m., so if you can wake up at 3:30, I won't have to drag you out. Anyway, moving right along. We love you. You're welcome to that office. Welcome to that. I wish we had two couches in there. Praise God. And more chairs so that we can just relax here and be at home. Thank you for driving so far. Thank you for making a priority out of being in God's house today. Hallelujah. We appreciate that. But gas the way it is, you have to choose between the mall or church. We're glad you chose church today. Can you say amen? That's a choice you'll never regret making. It's part of putting the kingdom first. Hallelujah. I want to speak this morning for a little while on because I love you. Just because I love you. And if there would be three highlighted parts of the sermon, it would be the incredible, say it with me, the incredible, indisputable, indispensable love of God. I almost hesitate to start a message on the love of God because it is inexhaustible, something you can't ever finish or ever fathom completely. And it's been one of the most preached messages that you'll ever hear. So there's nothing new in the sense of the message content this morning. What I pray is new and fresh is to rediscover and maybe discover in a deeper dimension just what the love of God is all about and what it means. Now, everybody here in your head, if I ask you, do you know that God loves you? Everybody here would give a resounding yes. But knowing something in your head and having it as a revelation that is taking hold in your heart, particularly when you're in a circumstance that would seem to dictate that he either doesn't love you or may not even like you sometimes. Amen. I heard the story told by the head of, I think, the Four Square Church organization. Anyway, told this story about a guy who, it just seemed like everything went wrong in his life and everything went bad in his life. And one day he was out plowing in a marsh and his tractor, one tire got in the soft part of it and he was trying to stay up on the hard part and plant up next to it, but he got too close to the marshy part and the tractor just eased down in the marsh and took him all the way over and it ended up pinning him without hurting him because of the soft marsh underneath, under the tire of the tractor. So he's laying there looking up into a sunny day with a beautiful blue sky. But there he is under that tractor and he can't move. Amen. It's just like, you know, this is it. You know, and he just cries out to heaven. Now, some of us are saying that's corny and it's laughable. But you know what's corny and laughable? For us to go through things in life and doubt the love of God. And yet we find ourselves doing just that. And we get a bad case of the poor old me's. And Satan's counting on you keeping a chronic case of the poor old me's. Can you say amen? Because if he can keep us in that condition, the faith that has been built into us meticulously by God through the Holy Spirit and his word, we won't use it because we are discouraged. Because our eyes are squarely on ourselves. Exactly where the devil wants them, instead of on Christ. Can you say amen? So he looks up into the heavens, and according to this comical story that so many people relate with, he said, Lord, why does all these things always... See, when your eyes are on yourself, you think no one else has tried, no one else has tested, no one else goes through struggles. You think it's only you. And as corny as this sounds, there's people that think like this. And God looks out of his heaven and said, I really don't know, John. There's just something about you that really ticks me off. And number one, that could never be the God of this Bible. Every one of us have done things to tick him off and to bring his judgment upon us. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't you ever get in the Old Testament and read about the sure coming judgments of God or in the book of Revelation without balancing it with John 3:16. God's love is calling to the lost, the damned, and dying. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Come and be saved. The door of the ark is wide open this morning because of the great, great love of Jesus. Can you say amen? Listen how he talks to Israel. Let's give him a fit. And listen to how he talks to the nation that's giving him so many troubles and problems. He said, but now says the Lord that created thee, Isaiah 43, O Jacob, and hath formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. Over 70 times in Scripture, God is saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus used that same term over and over and over in the New Testament, particularly in the context of end time events when men's hearts would fail them for fear. He says to us, fear not. Didn't the Bible say that perfect love would cast out fear? He that feareth is not perfected in love in 1 John. Amen. For perfect love cast out fear. And it's not your perfected love for him. It's his perfected love for you. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I'm the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. See, what made you honorable is not what you are, but what he sees you as through the eyes of love. Did you hear what I'm telling you? There is a love, my Bible said, that covers a multitude of sins, that doesn't magnify. Listen, God's not soft on sin here. There's no way to get sin dealt with except repentance in the blood of Jesus. And the soul that sins will still surely die. But I want you to know how God looks at you and how he sees you. The nation he's talking to here is not a beautifully, wonderfully, perfectly righteous nation. Read the history of the children of Israel. They gave God a fit. If they were your children, you'd want to whoop them. Can you say amen? But God doesn't react emotionally to the things about us that bother him. He acts according to his covenant. God keeps his covenant. I want to say it loud and clear. God is a covenant-keeping God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So if you want to dress yourself up outside the blood covenant and make yourself presentable to him, you're going to fail again and again and again. But if you want to accept something called covenant love and cleansing by the blood of Jesus and get filled with the Holy Spirit and start loving him because he loves you right where you are, and let it bring a devotion that brings a commitment that will please him, that's entirely different. Amen. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. That he might present it unto himself. Amen. A people holy and without blemish. Amen. There's no way, no way, no way that we can present ourselves to him in that condition. We can only be presented to him. The whole key to victory over the enemy, amen, is a standing with God that is absolutely sure and secure. Amen. No weapon formed against thee, Israel, shall prosper. Listen, when they got wrong, they got chastised. But the chastisement wasn't to hurt them. It wasn't out of God's aggravation or his angst. It was still, love was intact all the way through it. And all of that was to bring them back under his covering so that he could protect them, so that he could restore them. Can you say amen? Everything in your life that brings you closer to God is an act of love on God's part. Can you say amen? Everything. We know everything's working together for good to them that love him and are the called according to his purpose. Listen to what he says. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Everybody say, because I love you. Because I love you. It's all because I love you. Old and new covenant. Everything about the gospel is because God loves us. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Just stand up against Israel if you want to die. Amen. If you want to get up and find 185,000 corpses, just be a king that says, I will come in and trample on God's covenant people. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. We're seeing that prophecy come to pass. And in north of them is Russia. I will say unto the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. This is the regathering of Israel into their land. And my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Isn't that incredible? If you read in verse 4 in the New International, it will read like this. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. Everybody say again, because he loves us. I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Amen. The Amplified says the same thing. Because I love you, I'm going to do this. Because I love you, I'm going to do that. And the New American Standard just says, since I love you. That's why I'm going to do these things for you. Because God loves us, number one, It's the basis for every redemptive act in the Bible, both Old and New Covenant. There's no other reason for any good thing that God does in your life except that He loves you. Can you say amen? He's not doing it, amen, based on your performance. He's based on what His Son has done on the cross. That doesn't mean that works doesn't come. It means there's no good work you can do to earn the love that has been set upon you that caused Jesus to come and go to the cross for you. Nothing you could do now. Nothing you could ever do. There's no penance you can do. No repentance you can. Nothing you can. You can only respond to that love. You can't earn it. Can you say amen? You can reciprocate it, but you cannot earn it. The new covenant and the old covenant is a love story. Nothing less than a love story. God is hopelessly in love with fallen man. For God so what? Loved. Who? The world. Everybody. All of the fallen children of Adam. Can you say amen? He loves them all. Red and yellow, black and white. You better believe that. And you better include yourself. While you don't exclude anybody else, make sure you include yourself. You say, Brother Venable, how could God love me? I don't know. I don't have a clue. Amen? I can't give you that answer. But I can point you to a cross that declares that He does. Can you say amen? I don't know why Jesus loved me, the songwriter said. I don't know why He cared. I don't know why Jesus gave His life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad that He did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God loves us. Oh, let me get back to this first point. Every redemptive act in the Old Testament is because God loved. It's because He said, the reason I'm redeeming you, the reason I'm ransoming you, the reason I'm bringing you back when you deserve judgment, the reason I'm bringing you back anyway and blessing you again is because I love you. It's all because I love you. Everybody say, just because He loves us. For God so loved the world. It doesn't give the whys and the wherefores. One thing I know, it wasn't because we were lovable. God commended His love, I'll get to that a little further, to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. The supreme act of love, an example, an exhibition of love, was for lost people like you and me. Not after we got right and began to try to do right, but while we were dead wrong. Now don't take that wrong. That's not a license to sin. It doesn't mean that God can look over sin. It means that He is intent on forgiving our sin if we will come to Him and confess it and repent. And He will abundantly pardon. And where sin doth abound, that love is produced, grace will much more abound. It's based on love. It's a love story. The Song of Solomon ought not be in there unless it's about the church and Jesus. Because all it is somebody's sloppy love for this woman. Kind of movies that men don't want to go watch. A date movie. Song of Solomon's PG-13. Even in the 21st century. It's talking about sensual, intimate love. Not lust, but love. A passionate heart. And we don't always come to the gospel with passionate hearts. It's not always presented as a love story. So we're not very passionate about Jesus. And yet there's passion here. There's a movie recently called The Passion of the Christ. And I don't even think any movie that'll ever be made could do justice in any sense to the real passionate heart of Christ. I don't believe Mel Gibson can reveal that through his direction. I don't believe the guy that played Jesus can exude it from His acting ability. The only way it can come is by the Holy Ghost. Some things can touch your emotion, but this is not about emotion. This is far beyond emotion. Your emotions are subject to every kind of stimuli. They can go up one minute and crash the next. I'm talking about, aren't you glad God's not like us? One day He gets up and He says, oh, the next day He gets up and said, I've had it. He's in a mood. Thank God He's not moody. That's what's so stable about it. Nothing unstable. In Him, in His character, there is no variableness. Woo! neither a shadow of turning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's the unchanging love of God, the unchanging nature and character of God that you hook your faith on. Hallelujah. Because God loves us is the reason He gave His Son to die in our place on the cross. The cross literally screams, I love you from God. Pentecostals have been just a little bit overindulgent in the sensing of Him instead of what He did at the cross. His supreme act of love is transcended by whether we feel it on a Sunday or don't feel it. Hello? What He did on the cross is not untrue because you don't feel it. And it's not more true because you do. It's a fact. It's a reality. The reality is today, because Jesus died for you and took your place on the cross, God loves you enough to give His Son for you. For you and for me. And that should be shouting ground when we get up in the morning with the blues. That should be shouting ground when we get up in the morning with the blahs. Amen. That should be shouting ground when we're persecuted. You may be the black sheep in your family. Amen. But if you're one of God's sheep, you still have shouting ground. Can you say amen? God loves you. Because God loves us is the reason He gave His Son. For God, how? For He so loved. How did He love? What's in that little word so? It's the depth, length, breadth, and height of His love. You know what Pentecost? We see the fullness of God as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Paul saw the fullness of God as a revelation by the Holy Spirit and a realization by the Holy Spirit. It takes both revelation and realization. Amen. Just to see something and not experience it is not the full spectrum of what God wants you to have in the understanding of His love. The Bible said, amen, that he prayed for the church at Ephesus that they might know what is the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth of the love of God. And through that knowledge, to be filled with all the fullness of God. See, we define God by power. The Bible defines Him as love. God has power, but He is love. And what faith gets hung up on is not, is God all wise and knows how to do everything? And God is all powerful and can do all things. Amen. You know where our faith hangs up? God is all loving and will do all things. Amen. So we take scriptures like John 3:16. We say that's kindergarten stuff. It's not kindergarten stuff. It's the most profound revelation you'll ever get of God in all of the scripture. It's the gospel in a sentence. Greatest soul winning scripture in the entire world is John 3:16. You say, I know a better one. That's all right. This one's the one that's been getting the job done all these years. Amen. You might elaborate on this one, but you don't know any better one, brother. You say, well, what about this? Can't touch it. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son is the core of the gospel. Hallelujah. It's the foundation. It's fundamental, and that's why we trip over it. It's one of those fundamentals, can you say, amen? But we need to get back to some of these basics. If you got up this morning with a deep knowledge of how much God loves you, you can face anything in life. Amen. But if you ever doubt that love, I guarantee you all this building of your faith, amen, it isn't going to work under certain conditions if you ever doubt the love of God. But if you can grab hold and anchor your soul in the fact that you're loved, amen, you may not understand everything, but if you understand that God loves you, you'll understand that everything is going to work together for good in the end. That God is going to bring you through. And when you go through the waters, they won't overflow you. And when you go through the fire, it won't kindle. That doesn't mean you won't go through it. It means you will go through it, but it will not have the desired effect upon you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me just because I love you. Can you say amen? Everybody say just because He loves you. Because God loves us is the reason behind every answered prayer. You say, well, my faith made God do it. No, it didn't. If God didn't want to do it before you prayed, there's not enough faith in the world to twist His arm. Woo! Whatever you got from God, He wanted you to have. And He wants you to have it because He loves you. My Bible said He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. I'm not just talking about the car you drive, but when you begin to thrive and flourish like the date palm, God gets joy out of seeing you blessed. Because God loves us is the foundation for all faith and trust. Hasid is the Old Testament word for that expression of the divine love of God. And it's an incredible word. It's rendered love. It's rendered loving kindness in the Scripture. Psalm 37:5, I believe it is, says, "How excellent, O God, is thy loving kindness." How excellent. Listen, excellent doesn't just mean you got an A+ on your term paper. Excellent means beyond the A+. A+ can't really define true excellence. Excellence. Particularly when it comes to the love of God. How excellent. How beyond anything that you could imagine is the love of God. Your loving kindness. Therefore, it's the stimulus for true faith, which is trust-based. The sons of men put their trust under the covert of thy wings. Can you say amen? That's love covering. Can you say amen? That's just not your shield and your ability to hold it up. It's your God inviting you to come to Him as a hiding place and a refuge. And that becomes your shield. By the way, your God is your shield, not just your faith. Your faith has to be in Him and rest on Him. True faith's object is God, not itself. Got to watch this New Age junk. They'll make you think that you can manufacture these things, that your words can create wealth. My Bible said it's God that maketh a man wealthy. Not your words, but your God. It's God that heals. It's God that exalts. Amen? My Lord in heaven. If you say to the mountain, "Doubt not in your heart," you'll have what you say. Yeah, but listen, this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will. The only reason I can speak to a mountain is not because I have divine powers, but because I have trust in a God who has a will and a purpose. And if that mountain is in the way of God's will and purpose, I don't doubt that when I tell it to move in His name, that He's going to act on it. And when it moves, I will not write a book about a mountain moving faith in me, but a mountain moving God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by might, nor by power of man or mentality. Amen. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If something moves that you have proclaimed, God has operated. Can you say amen? Not just an operation of your faith, it's a mighty move of your God. Hallelujah. We want to be little gods. We want to manipulate. We want to be in control. Amen. No, we got to give way. We got to let God take control. Can you say amen? The sons of God are led by the leader, and that's the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I love to glorify Him, exalt Him. I'm glad it's not on my shoulders. Oh, I'm glad my faith works today because my God is faithful. Because God loves us. Just because God loves us is the essence of grace. We have unmerited favor because we've obtained unconditional love. That's the only reason grace has flowed out to you and me. If God didn't love us unconditionally, there's nothing to merit what He's given us. But there is a love, Peter said. It's got to be divine because we sure don't have it. In and of ourselves, it's not intrinsic to us. But it's available to us. And it can flow through us. There is a love, Peter said, that covers a multitude of sins. That doesn't look at you in terms of your faults, but looks at you through the eye of love and says, in spite of your faults. I love the story of the potter's house down in Israel in the book of Jeremiah. Because Israel's sinning as a nation. They're so flawed. Judgment is soon coming if they don't repent. But God has a will and purpose even beyond the judgments in the land. And he says, Jeremiah, I want you to understand, you're going to speak some hard things, but I want you to understand my intent and purpose for this nation is not their destruction and not their hurt and not their harm, but their good and their blessing. And I want to teach you a lesson about me and my love that I've set upon this people. Hard-hearted, hard, stiff-necked as they are, go down to the potter's house. I'll speak to you when you get there. So he goes down to get this lesson from God. He walks through the door and he said a man was sitting there at a potter's wheel and he wrought a work upon that wheel. He was making something of his own design upon that wheel. Whatever was in his heart, he was fashioning with his own hands. Isn't it good to know what you are? Amen. What God had in his heart. He's begun with His own hands to fashion. My Bible says that we are His workmanship. Amen. Just like the heavens are His handiwork, the work of one's own hands. The God that created this universe wants to work creatively in you and me. God can create joy when there's nothing but melancholy. God can create peace in you. God doesn't have to... Listen, God can just create it inside of you as He works a creative work in you. Amen. As He brings your spirit into line with Him and trust, He can just bring that peace into your life. Can you say amen? But He can't do it if you doubt His love. None of this works if you doubt His love. Your faith don't work if you doubt His love, because faith worketh by... Bible said, I pray that you will know what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and be filled with all the fullness of God. The Bible says that we are to be rooted and grounded in love. It's the foundation for everything. Rooted is agricultural. Amen. If you're going to start a plant, you start it in potting soil. You get it rooted. Amen. You got to get it started on the right foundation. You don't get started on gifts, experiences, but in the deep, deep love of Christ. And grounded. That's architectural. That's foundational. Can you say amen? Paul was on a foundation, and he said, because of the love of God, nothing will separate me from it. Nothing in this life that shakes me can separate me, because I'm rooted and grounded in love. And those same terms are for growing in Christ. Rooted and built up in Christ means coming to an understanding of His great love wherewith He loved you. Rooted and built up. Rooted, agricultural. Built up, architectural. Can you say amen? The same analogies being used. So many people got on the wrong foundation. I started telling the story of a preacher, ex-pastor. And he sat back and he was sitting in his chair, and he said, I had failed God, so I knew God couldn't love me and couldn't use me. So he didn't even seek repentance, because he felt like it's useless. How could God forgive me? How could God use me? And he said he remembered when he was a child, before he went into ministry. It's amazing how we get these images of God. And someone had drew God driving Adam and Eve from the garden. Amen. And it showed this scowling, angry God with the long white hair with a scowl on His face. Not a broken-hearted God that loved them and saw the terrible, terrible power of sin and the ramifications of sin. And a God that shed the first blood in the entire universe of an innocent animal, and took the blood, took the skin of an animal and brought it to them to clothe their nakedness. Amen. The bloodline began in Genesis when blood brought a covering to people who had sinned. Took shedding of blood to bring that covering. And God shed the blood so that they could be covered, just like God shed the blood so you could be covered. Can you say amen? But all he saw was the scowling God, and he said, that imprint stayed with me. They take little birds from their mommy and daddy before they get to know them, and their imprint of family is the person who buys them. They don't know they're a bird. They've lost their identity. Now, there's a window where that impression is made. There's a window where that imprint is made. Same way about speech in children. There's a window to get that through. Are you listening to me? Amen. Listen, sometimes we see the good news is that bird that I have, he thinks I'm his daddy and that's his mommy. Amen. Because he says, where's daddy? Mom's good boy. And he's really confused, because he thinks he should be with us 24/7. Amen. Go shopping with us. Go to the mall with us. Wear a towel over you so I can poopy, but take me with you. Can you say amen? Oh, baby's poopy too. Don't get mad at my birds. Never seen nobody leave their... You just change the diaper and go on. Amen. They got birdie pants. I wouldn't let my bird be seen dead in one, but they do have birdie pants and monkey diapers and doggy stuff. Those birds can't be unimprinted, but you can. Whatever wrong thing you got started on can be changed if you get into the Word of God again and get the Holy Spirit to reveal some things to you. Hallelujah. God never looks over sin, but boy, He is ready to pardon if we will come back to Him. And that man said, I was sitting in my chair and thought, it's done. It's over between me and God. I hope to go to heaven someday. I don't want to just deny God, but He can never use me, and He doesn't even want me. And he said, the Lord spoke to my heart, call me by my name. See, he told Israel, I called you by name. And he said, I love you. And the moment that exploded in his heart, he went back to Bible and he discovered through a new lens of faith that God really loved him. Amen. He was ready to go back and serve God. See, the love of Christ, Paul said, my passion, my commitment, the love of Christ, that's what's constraining me. I'm not here because I'm afraid of going to hell for not preaching. I'm here because the love of Christ in my life is pulling me. Amen. I can't do anything but tell others about Him. And I do it with joy. Because God loves us, we have unshakable hope in spite of our immediate circumstance. I don't know why certain things are happening to you. I don't know why certain things happen to me. But I know God loves me. And I know if I'll trust Him, He'll be glorified. And somehow good is going to come if I will wait. Weeping lasts for a night, but joy does in fact come. I've lived long enough to verify this. Joy comes in the morning. Because God loves us, we can begin again. I love that about the Lord, the God of the new beginnings. Ask David if he can't begin again. Ask anyone in Scripture who's ever failed him if you can begin again. And he will tell you, yes, you can. If you'll return to me, ask Israel. I'll what? Why? Just because He loves us. Accepting the fact that God loves you right here, right now, is vital to your victory over Satan, sin, and self. There's no way you'll win that battle if you doubt that God loves you. Amen? There's no way you're going to do it, because you won't stand bold in faith unless you believe that God loves you. But if you believe that God loves you, it'll bring something called holy boldness. Amen? Holy. Everybody say holy boldness. I'm so far from perfect. There's a guy at work, you know, and I tell him some of my corny jokes, and he looks at me and says, Rev. And they're not dirty jokes. They're not even off color. They're just corny. And you say, tell me about it. Amen. And he says, Rev. He said, someday I'm going to come to your church and sit on the front row of your congregation and look you right in the eye while you preach. I says, you come on, because the anointing will hide you from me. Just like he hides some other. Anyway, moving right along. I started to say, I've looked at worse than you. That was back over the years. None of you guys. You guys are wonderful. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've looked at scowling faces on Sunday morning. And he said, and then he backed up and he said, I'm going to tell your congregation. He said, I'm going to tell your congregation. And then he got serious and said, I'm going to tell your congregation that I've worked with you for years. And I've seen you go through trials and tests. And I know you're as human as I am. Amen. But I have seen you stand and stand and stand and stand. And I thought, that's all I can ask. That you haven't seen me never complain. You've never seen me never upset. Amen. But you didn't see me smite anyone. So I guess that's standing. Never seen me curse anybody. So I assume I'm still standing. Can you say amen? I can't tell you I didn't want to. But that's what's called overcoming. This is covenant love. Listen to it. Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9. Let me try to hurry. You need this. I need this. We got it in our head. All doubt comes because it's not settled in their heart. Impatience comes because this isn't settled in their heart. Perplexity, questioning, bringing stress, sometimes even anger at God, comes because this isn't settled in our heart. It can provoke jealousy if this isn't settled in your heart. Because God may be taking you through something that He just delivered someone from. And you look at them and say, you took them from it, you're taking me through it. Why me, Lord? Why not them? Remember Peter? What about him? You're laying all this heavy trip of gospel responsibility on me. What about him? And Jesus said, if I want him to stand right there till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Got to settle it in your heart. It's not between about you and them and him. It's about you and him. and you're on your own personal journey. One thing I know, Satan turns up the heat. God controls the thermostat. Can you say amen? God will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, not in yourself, but through Christ who strengthens you to bear. How many know you can do how much through Christ who strengthens you? Boy, that's easy to say, isn't it? Don't you love to say it? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do everything. Ain't nothing too hard for me. Come on, devil, bring it on. I mean, we almost get that attitude when we read that scripture till something hits us. Oh, Job would preach that to anybody. Amen. And Eliphaz, the only reason Eliphaz wasn't supposed to speak out in the council when the elders were present. He was one of the young guys. Amen. But he knew a little bit about God, and he knew old Job was kind of getting discouraged. And he said, I can't listen to you anymore, Job. I can't sit back here out of decorum and protocol and listen to this. I got to speak out. He said, Job, you have encouraged others that were going through trouble, but now it touches you. Can you say amen? Boy, this is easier preached than walked out. I'm preaching under the anointing. I got to let you know something. I need this same anointing to walk it out. Amen. If we would live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. If we walk it, we should live in it. I needed to depend on the Holy Ghost to help me to keep this victory and to keep it by keeping a focus on the love of God that's in Christ, not my circumstance and not myself. Listen to what he says. Oh, there's a guy came to me at work. I'll hurry because I can't finish this whole outline. But a guy came to me at work night before last. And he came up to me and says, my life's got to change, Red. My life's got to change. You got a scripture for me? I want a scripture. And I thought, well, you know, I'll get him something, you know. Because you don't know any time. I try to help anybody I can. But he came back and he says, have you got that scripture? And so I said, well, I was going to have something, you know, printed out for you and maybe something. He said, no, I need it now. I need it now. And I said, okay. I mean, you know, this is pretty neat when someone's talking that way. And so I gave him a scripture about the struggle between flesh and spirit, because that's the struggle that he's in. And I said, your decision and commitment is going to tip the balance. But when you make the right decision, all of God's resources are going to be yours. All of it is going to be yours. See, some of you in here haven't made that decision yet. You need to make it. But you don't just need to make it because it's your duty and it's the right thing. And I'm pressuring you. The Holy Spirit's even pressuring you. You need to make it out of devotion. You need to start reciprocating love. You need to let God love you the way He wants to love you so you can give it back to Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You need to accept by faith how much He loves you this morning, so that it will invoke in you a passionate love in return to Him. We love Him. Why? Because it's stimulated by His love for us. But it can't stimulate us until it's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Come on, this is a love that passes knowledge. Just like the peace that passes understanding. If you think you can fathom it with your human understanding and emotion, you're wrong. Make Him like yourself, and there's people that can hurt you so bad that you get angry, you don't continually walk in love. God doesn't operate that way. Does He get angry? Does He have wrath? Yes. Can love operate beside chastisement for His people? You betcha. Boy, the New Testament really blows you away. I've never seen anybody say, Lord, you know, I need a good whipping. It's been a long time. But I want You to prove You love me. Paul said, don't faint when you are chastened of Him. For God scourges every son that He loves. And chastens everyone that He receives. So don't faint when it happens. It proves you've got a daddy in heaven who cares about you. Because it isn't to hurt you. It isn't designed because God's mad and He wants to hurt you. It's designed to bring you back to Him so the devil won't destroy you. Isn't that love? See, we want a God who doesn't do that. Paul said, that's not the God of Scripture. Go ask Israel. If he cut them off because of unbelief, so that they would what? Stay cut off? No. His intent was, get them out from under the covering. Let them see what happens when you don't serve God. Their enemies are going to do terrible harm, but let them run back to God and see what happens. God's going to run back to them. Amen? 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 Is that to hurt and to harm? No. It's to bring back. It's to bring back. God's not mad at you. He's in love with you. Oh, by the way, if you be without chastisement, if God just let you alone, you are bastards and not sons. You can't claim His fatherhood. Amen? He takes no responsibility for you until you become His own, except to reach out to save you. But once you become His own, He takes it personal. Incredible. Christ said, the hairs of your head are numbered. Nobody knows that about you. Your boyfriend, if you're in high school or college, don't know that about you. Oh, Marcia. Come sit down and let me count the hairs on your head. John, I love you, but I don't have time for this. Amen? Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's that intimate. Can you say amen? Nobody's like that. A sparrow falls from the sky. Who notice? Who cares that a sparrow falls from the sky? God is such a lover. Amen. God is such a lover that it touches His heart when a sparrow falls. And you're worth more, Christ said, than many sparrows. Can you say amen? If He takes notice of that, don't ever let the devil tell you that whatever you've done has taken His heart from you. Can you say amen? Woo! Take you no thought for what you shall... It's all because He loves us. All of this is because He loves us. Take you no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink, or wherewith you be clothed, because your Father who loves you knows that you have need of all of these things. Amen. Look at what He does for the lily of the field, and look what He does for the fowls of the air. Will He not do it for you, O ye of little faith? Faith in His ability? No, faith in His love. Wow. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen to what He says to Israel. All of this is based on love. It says, for thou art an holy people, Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9. Oh, Paul preaches on this, and the New Testament elaborates on this. It says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you might show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. To show forth the praises, the word praises there means His virtues. His virtues. God wants people to see His love for His people reflected in us. Not just His holiness and power, but His love for His people reflected in us and through us. Wow. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people to Himself above all people that are on the face of the earth. Everybody say this is covenant love. The Lord did not set His love upon you. Thank God the emotions are not the basis for this love. Can you say amen? God set His love. Everybody say set His love. Set it. He set it. The God who set the sun in its orbit, who set the earth in its orbit, has set His love on you. Set it on you. By covenant. And you say, well, Brother Vim, I don't understand that. Few of us do. We don't understand covenants. We understand contracts. Covenants were deeper than contracts. God said, I'm going to come into covenant with Abraham concerning the nation. And no matter what they do, I'm going to love them. I'll chasten them when they're wrong, but I'm going to keep loving them. I will not totally forsake them nor abandon them. Some of you this morning, when you were melted by the love of God, when you first became a Christian, you had the first love burning. You know why that first love burned? It wasn't because you were so devoted. It's because you were so receiving of the love of God. You accepted it. You were awestruck by it. It bowled you over every time you got in a service, and you melted at the name of Jesus. But now you can say his name 10,000 times and not get a tear in your eye. Why? Because you've got over that. It's not as big a deal. John 3:16 is not what you're looking for. You've got all kinds of other things that excite your spiritual sensibilities. I'm going to tell you something. You need to get back to Calvary. You need to get back to the cross. When you were melted, you could be molded. And a process was ongoing in you as long as you loved him with all of your heart, instead of just loving him with your head. Ephesus lost the first love. Theologically accurate. A holy people. Checking out false doctrine. Being persecuted and not giving in. But they'd lost their first love. And Christ said, if you don't get it back, I'm going to take your lampstand. There's no way you can represent the kingdom of heaven without the love of God. No way. Tongues without it are sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Faith without it profits nothing. Amen. Self-sacrifice for self-exaltation. Some people appear humble so people will praise their humility. Without love, love says, it's not for me. This is all for you. Not for me. It's selfless. That's the nature of divine love. Lord didn't set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you the fewest of all people, but the Lord loved you. And because he would keep the oath which he'd sworn to your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt? Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy. That's that word hasid again, loving kindness, with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Can you say amen? One translator says he keeps his covenant of love to 1,000 generations. Let me finish with this. God's love is incredible. Say it with me, incredible. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You're that whomsoever. You're included. It's all inclusive, but it's also very personal and very intimate. Of all the 31,175 verses of the Bible, John 3:16 may well stand out as the greatest text of the entire Bible. There's a man who compiled a book of the great preachers of old and all of their favorite texts that they used just to see what was their text that really turned them on. And he jotted down to John 3:16 and he said, all of them, without exception, this was included. A man came to Spurgeon's church while he was on an evangelistic tour, came to his church and began to preach, and a mighty revival resurfaced at Spurgeon's church. He got back and he said, what did the man preach to his board? Said he preached John 3:16. Said, well, what did he preach the next night? Said he elaborated on John 3:16. Said, what did he preach the third night? Said he continued to elaborate on John 3:16. Sometimes in our desire to go on to perfection, we forget you build on the foundation to go on to perfection. You keep building on that foundation. You don't lay it again, but you've got to build on it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the love of God is the foundation that you build on. Everybody say, just because God loves me. It may well stand as the greatest text of the entire Bible. It's been translated into over 1,100 languages of the world. And why not? This single scripture has been used by soul winners and the Holy Spirit to lead more sinners out of darkness into the light than any other single verse in the Bible. And it's probably one of the least respected because we're always looking for something new and improved to turn us on and to lift us from the shadows. That's why we're gullible to the New Age blend that's now with the gospel. We're looking for something better when there is nothing better. We need to rediscover the reality of the original. Listen to this. One of the greatest theologians that some say ever lived was Karl Barth. I don't know whether he was or not, but he had that kind of standing in many people's eyes. He was asked to be a lecturer at the University of Chicago Divinity School, At the end of a captivating closing lecture, the president of the seminary announced that Dr. Barth was not well, was quite tired. And though he thought that Dr. Barth would like to be open for questions, he shouldn't be expected to handle the strain. Then he said, "Therefore, I will ask but one question on behalf of us all." He turned to the renowned theologian and asked, "Of all the theological insights you've ever had, which do you consider to be the greatest of them all?" It was the perfect question for a man that had written literally tens of thousands of pages of some of the most sophisticated theology ever put into print. The students held their pencils right up against their writing pads, ready to take down verbatim the premier insight of the greatest theologian of their time. Karl Barth closed his tired eyes. He thought for a minute, and then half smiled, opened his eyes and said to those young seminarians, "The greatest theological insight that I've ever had is this: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet today? Just go straight to... No, you can do that. Number 3. And then 13. Listen carefully to this. Someone has said that man truly, fallen man truly, needs to be loved the most when he deserves it the least. And only God can fulfill this incredible need. Amen. Only God can fulfill this incredible, incredible need. I'm using the word incredible as we hear it in modern life. The word actually means unbelievable, inconceivable, absurd, preposterous. But this word is usually used to describe something so far out, it's beyond our sense of reality. The love of God is something over which we are continually amazed. That's why we have songs like "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that's why there's a song based on Charles Wesley's great old hymn, an anthem of grace for Charles Wesley called "Amazing Love." How can it be that my King would die for me? That's why in the song "The Love of God," there's a verse from that song that was found in an insane asylum inscribed upon the wall. Would you like to hear what someone found in that? And I'm going to tell you, these were not nice places back in the 1800s, 1700s. Someone found God's peace. I know a man that was put in a padded room to keep from killing himself, who just was in a terrible state when Christ found him and saved him, and filled him, brought him back to his right mind. Would you like to hear what was on that wall that came a part of this song? "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song." Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants you to use your faith to accept what He declares through His Son, and what Jesus declares through His cross, and what He sent His Spirit to cause you to experience. We have experienced power. We've shouted, danced, joyously enjoyed that sense of that dynamic of the Spirit in our life called power, dunamis. What we need as a foundation for our faith through the stresses and toils and trials of life is an unshakable understanding that we are loved right now, right where we are. Down at the potter's house, even though Israel is going to go through some judgments and chastisements, God's love is going to be intact. And God's purpose is to bring them back, restore them. So Jeremiah, who's been preaching these flaming messages, he goes down to the potter's house and he says the man is working a work upon the wheel. He's spinning it and he's working. And he discovers there's a hard place in the clay, a lump that hasn't been softened. Anybody got any lumps? And he says, he stops the wheel. The process is now stopped. But he doesn't throw away the vessel he's working on. He just reaches in, takes out the clump, throws it aside, puts his hand back and covers the hole with fresh clay and begins his work again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And then God speaks to Jeremiah. And he says, there may be judgments in the land to take away the hard spots, but I'm going to do this mighty work on behalf of this nation just because I love them. Hallelujah. Love will find a way. Love will find a way. Love will find a way to reach you and help you and give you a new beginning. If you're on the waiting room, what a terrible place to be. Take a number. It's hard to be patient in the waiting room, in God's waiting room. You're waiting on His healing. You're waiting on the changes. They that wait upon the Lord, you're not going to get weary if you keep your trust that He loves you and He's working in your behalf. Even through this time of struggle, they shall mount up. And I'm telling you, you're going to mount up with wings as an eagle. You're not going to be bitter. You're going to be better when this whole thing is over. Amen. This test is going to give you a testimony. Can you say, God is a master of taking mountains and turning them into molehills. Glory to God. He can use everything that touches your life, even what the enemy intends for evil. God can use. I want you to bend with the wind this morning and let patience have her perfect work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust in me and wait upon me, saith the Lord. I'm working a work like the potter worked a work upon the wheel. You're on the potter's wheel, and the hands of the potter is touching your life even this day. Know that loving hands are touching you. And know that by design, I am touching you. I'm not touching you randomly. Yea, I'm touching you in a way that my design for you will come to pass in your life. And good is coming. Wait and see, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise in this song. I'm going to ask in here, is anyone going through any tests or any trials? Wave at me.